The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flurry. Greetings from Tier 4 in the UK. That is the name for pretty much full lockdown. As of midnight last night here in Edstone, we're in the maximum level of restrictions. Schools even are going to be severely restricted now in terms of how many pupils that they can take as students go back to school after the break. And all of this, like you heard on yesterday's show, happening when hospitals are at pretty much the same level as normal, if anything, slightly less busy than normal. The stats on that are pretty clear. They keep announcing these new tiers, these new mutant lockdowns, these new restrictions right before big events. You know, you had the big announcement over here coming up shortly before Christmas. Today's New Year's Eve. So I suspect the real reason that we're in Tier 4 is that the government was worried about people ignoring the rules and partying tonight. And so they had to find a way to inject another dose of fear. Fear to keep everybody indoors and away from other people. Well, I won't get into that too much because we had a fair bit on coronavirus and an update from the UK on that yesterday. In other news, another update. Parliament yesterday overwhelmingly backed the Prime Minister's new deal with the European Union. So that's it. We are separating ourselves from the European Union. Of course, Britain was out of the EU already, but now we're out more. We're out more completely. At the end of the year, we will be out from under EU law, out from the European Court of Justice, out from a lot of these different restrictions. And I still think we'll have to wait and see as to how good of a deal it is to be completely sure of that and how many levers the EU may still have to try and take advantage of. But it's a clean break, or a relatively clean break. Well, there's a few news stories I wanted to go through before I get into the main subject of the show today. This was something The Spectator published over the weekend. Quite a sad story, really. The parent gap. What's happened to mums and dads in Britain? So this is a bit related to our lockdown story. Kids not going to school during lockdown. It has exposed how little parents are actually doing and how much they are relying on schools to parent. This article goes through some stats showing that really a majority of parents tend to believe that the schools should be responsible or equally responsible with parents for a whole lot of different things. For example, 57% believe that parents and schools should be equally responsible for cultivating imagination and creativity in children, in teaching speaking and listening. They feel about half say that they should have equal responsibility for teaching social skills. The article talked about this story where, well, the UK gives free glasses to children, glasses if you need to see. If they need them, they can get it for free. But a bunch of parents were very annoyed because they have to do the actual work of going and applying for the glasses and getting them. It's still free, but they have to do that. And they feel like the school should be doing it for them. They should be taking care of all of that. Why are they, as parents, having to do any work? Isn't that what schools are for? That's what you're getting. This article says, even before COVID, I spoke to head teachers who reported that some of their five-year-olds arrived in the reception class still wearing nappies. A headmaster in Plymouth described walking into the school cafeteria where the reception class was having their lunch. When he approached them to chat, he saw almost half of the five-year-olds were shoving food into their mouth. They didn't know what to do with the spoon beside their plate. They didn't even know how to eat with a spoon. Because parents just expected schools to do that. This article concludes, what has happened to parenting? Why are mothers and fathers so reluctant to mold their offspring into an image of themselves? And it says that parenting is reduced to a means of reproduction and mom and dad relegated to the inferior ranks of the fertile victims in Margaret Atwood's spooky The Handmaid's Tales to have the baby and then hand it over to the authorities. They know best. And that is the message that the authorities give. Well, don't do all these things themselves. We know yourselves. We know best. If you spank your children, we'll probably prosecute you or try and take them away from you. And then the same authorities are surprised when parents then expect schools to raise their children. Of course, we have our own book on the Trumpet website that will teach you or talk that will go through and show what is Christian parents, what we can do, what we should do in raising our children, child rearing with vision. You can get that on thetrumpet.com. Another story I'll just mention quickly, I thought this was kind of interesting, where there was an article pointing out that one Chinese company has a near monopoly on Bible printing. So in any trade war between the US and China, Bibles could very quickly become an issue. There could be an immediate Bible shortage in the United States. It's not just physical food that could get cut off, but spiritual food too. And we saw this already in 2019, where there was some back and forth between America and China. China threatened a big tariff on Bibles, and Bible printing companies started lobbying against the trade deal. Just an interesting example of how dependent all of our countries have become on China, on cheap manufacturing over there, and the levers of power that they give us. I saw a story, just moving on now, by a former German foreign minister, and he was writing about how Europe must not be subordinate to America. So the whole premise of the article is, okay, President Trump has gone. Wow, you can see how cold it is in the studio. I can see my own breath in here. We do have a heating. I forgot to turn the heater on a few minutes before I came up here. But back to this article, it talked about how the EU can't just let this relationship go with America back to the way it was before President Trump. He's anticipating, obviously, Joe Biden coming in. And he says the worst thing European leaders could do now is sit back and resume their previous subordinate role within the transatlantic relationship. And he says restoring the relationship requires that Europe act like an adult and co-equal vis-a-vis the United States and move beyond Cold War era subservience that still endures 30 years later. He's saying, well, Europe is subservient to America, and we need to stop that. We need to chart our own course. We need to stand up for ourselves. And if that's what they're saying when they're anticipating a Joe Biden presidency, what do you think they're going to say when Donald Trump gets in, when President Trump gets back in? That Europe's reaction is going to be very entertaining. I look forward to seeing that. Well, that was just a few stories. I wanted to cover those just pretty quickly because I have prepared lots of material for the main thing I want to get to today, and I want to make sure I have plenty of time to it. So just after 7 minutes of the show, we're moving into the second half already, or what was initially planned to be the second half. Over the past couple of shows, we've had quite a bit of review material. It's the end of the year. It's only natural to look back on 2020, especially after so many huge things have happened. It's kind of easy to look back at some of those things and think, oh, I forgot about that. You know, Qassem Soleimani, I think until the last week or two, that was a huge deal. And that had pretty much completely gone from my mind. We are on the last day now of 2020. And this year will be over tonight. What can we look forward to for 2021? And to help answer that, I wanted to do my own kind of year in review, but with a bit of a difference. I don't want to tread over the same ground that we've seen before. I want to look back at 2020 through the eyes of Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flurry, to go back and look at all of the articles that he's published in this year. And there are a lot. He wrote a lot this year. Over 30 different articles. There are different ways of counting them. You know, sometimes we'll have one version on the website and then an updated version that goes in the Trumpet print. So you might have a couple of different versions. But around 30 different articles, nearly 100,000 words, 185 pages. That's with size 10.5 font on A4 paper. A lot of content. And these are the most important articles on our website, in our magazine. You know, these are articles from the editor pieces. They'll often be the first article in the Trumpet print, or you'll see them. We have that from the editor section on the top right-hand corner of the website. It's up there right at the top for a reason. You know, these are the articles that in many ways we build the rest of our content around. You know, as writers, these are the ones that we use to guide our analysis of world events and that we point back to in many of our shorter articles. And these articles really contain a message that is unique, unique in the world, unique even to some of the content that's on our website. And this uniqueness, well, this was one of the biggest things that stood out to me looking back over all of these articles that Mr. Flores published in 2020. You know, you can get other articles that are on the same subject that he wrote on, that I'm about to go through. And you can get some very good articles on some of these subjects. Sometimes you have to look quite hard and go beyond the mainstream, but that you can still get some pretty good articles on these subjects. But even the best articles out there, you know, the authors, they don't see the real causes of what's going on in the world. They don't see what's behind the news, the real causes. And because of that, they don't see the real solutions. So these pieces that we'll look at from Mr. Flurry, they get right to the heart of the problem. And then they have hope. They show how these things can be fixed. They show what the solutions are, both nationally and individually. So I have seven different lessons that we can learn from Mr. Flurry's articles over 2020. And again, I'm just going through these because these are the most important pieces that you see up on our website. And my first lesson, the first lesson that really does come across from looking at all of this content, is that you have to understand the spiritual dimension to American politics. You know, this has been one of the biggest subjects that in 2020 in general, one of the biggest subjects we've written on, one of the biggest subjects here on the Trumpet Daily radio show, and definitely the biggest subject in terms of word count that Mr. Flurry has written on. And again, you can get some good articles on American politics elsewhere. It's becoming increasingly hard to get good coverage of U.S. politics. It's increasingly biased, and you've seen that even with Fox News now. But if you want just accurate reporting of what the events are, it can be hard to find, but it's there. You can get it. And I think even just since President Trump's, or since the November election, a few of us have had to look for different sources, but it's there. But there's a crucial spiritual aspect that you cannot understand any of this without, that you can only get from the Trumpet website. And Mr. Flurry's articles really explain that spiritual aspect comprehensively, deeply. Every article on U.S. politics that he has, it really zooms in and explains, well, this is the spiritual aspect. This is the critical Bible-based reasonings behind what's going on. This is what you need to understand is happening. You know, for example, here's a quote from one of those articles. Something deadly dangerous has seized the country far more than people realize. There is a spiritual dimension to what is happening, and you cannot understand these events unless you recognize that. We must know our enemy to understand what is happening in America. That was from an article called The Barack Obama Mystery. And so it's what the Bible reveals about the spiritual dimension behind these events that enables Mr. Flurry to forecast so many of the news events that dominate our headlines. And for example, here's a quote. This is from an article called Treason in America and Britain that really jumped out. In light of what we've seen since November, this article was published over the summer. But here Mr. Flurry writes, "Are America's elections free and fair? I'm writing this about 2 months before the United States holds its 2020 presidential election, and a lot of evidence is exposing efforts to rig the election. This is a serious crime that undermines our constitutional republic. Many politicians, press, and media personalities dismiss accusations that the Democrats are trying to steal the election, but more and more evidence proves that they tried to steal the election in 2016. To believe they wouldn't do so again is folly." Two is writing in the summer saying they're going to try and steal the 2020 election. And sure enough, what have we seen? And as he said, again, you look back at the 2016 election and that shouldn't be remotely surprising. And it's this same biblical background that has enabled Mr. Flurry to make probably his boldest forecast from his articles this year, saying that President Trump will remain U.S. president. That's one of the big landmark articles that he's produced. He wrote in that article, "By most appearances, Joe Biden will be America's next president. But I absolutely do not believe that at all. Mr. Trump will weather this storm too, regardless of what the media says or how things look right now. I am confident Donald Trump will remain president. I am also certain that we're about to see some of the biggest frauds exposed perhaps ever. And so understanding, you know, to understand the spiritual dimension of what is happening here in the United States, or, well, not here, I'm in Britain, but even here in Britain too, to understand that spiritual dimension, you need to understand what God is doing with our nations. What God is doing with our nations. And one scripture that so much of this revolves around is 2 Kings chapter 14. So God has, and we'll read that in just a second, but just to give some background, you know, God has a purpose for America, for Britain. You know, these countries, for Israel and the Middle East, these countries are descended from ancient Israel. And God is working out a plan through these nations for the benefit of the whole world. Not simply for the benefit of these nations. You know, these nations are disobeying God, but God is still working through them. And he is involved in events that go on in these countries. And the Bible is a book of history. It's a book as well of prophecy. And so much of the history in the Bible is prophecy. It's dual. You know, we'll look in 2 Kings chapter 14, and it gives us the history of a King Jeroboam, King Jeroboam II. The book of Amos is a book written by a prophet, and it prophesies of a future King Jeroboam and certain things that he will do. And you can look, and you can look especially in Amos chapter 9 and see this is a future book. It's talking about prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet. There is a coming, or a current coming, at least to Amos, type of this Jeroboam that will be on the world scene. And that makes what we read about in the book of Kings prophetic. It's talking about things that will happen with this Jeroboam type in the future. So there's a modern fulfillment of what's talked about here in the book of Kings. And in 2 Kings 14 and verse 26, it says, "For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any helper shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Eternal said, not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." So it's got not God's time yet for Israel to be destroyed, but there's this bitter affliction. And so God is working through a Jeroboam type, through President Trump. And that work is not yet done. And a lot of articles from Mr. Flurry this year really reflect that and explain that. Like I said, there's that big main article, Why Donald Trump Will Remain America's President, that talks about that. But then you also have to understand, well, why is there this affliction? Why is Israel suffering so much? Well, if God has a purpose for Israel, well, the Bible also talks about an evil spirit being that opposes God. You know, if you believe the Bible, well, you have to believe in a devil, in Satan, even though many Christians of this world don't want to talk about him. But the Bible talks about a spirit, evil spirit being. And if God is working out a plan through Israel, well, then Satan is going to be working to stop that plan through Israel, to derail that plan through Israel. Mr. Flurry wrote, "Satan's goal is to blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, from all over the earth. That is his passion. And America is the superpower among the end-time nations of Israel. So he has a special hatred for America and is working furiously to destroy it." And so this attack is having a huge effect. This is one of the big stories of 2020. You know, if we saw 2020 and the news events the way God does, if Satan tries to blot out Israel, would probably be the number one story. Or maybe the number two, but up there. You know, Mr. Armstrong, in his book Mystery of the Ages, he talked about the spirit world being more real than the physical world. These are real events that are happening, a real attack. Mr. Flurry is another quote. He wrote, "America has changed like you've never seen it, in just months or even weeks, into a different country. It's not the country it was a couple of years ago, or even at the start of 2020. America has changed over the last year. And it's been changing before then, but it's been changing quickly in 2020. And he talks about, well, if President Biden or Vice President Biden got in there in 2021, what would America be like? How much faster would things be changing? How much longer would this message even be able to go out? So the spiritual dimension, you know, God's working through a man, but Satan is also working to bring down Israel. And the Bible tells us that so much of Satan's efforts in this attack also revolves around one man. You know, there are many prophecies in the Bible that talk about Satan using one man to destroy his church, to take down his church. You can look in 2 Thessalonians 2, for example. And then there are passages that show that Satan would apply the same pattern to bringing down, you know, the church's spiritual Israel. He'd apply the same pattern to bringing down physical Israel, getting in one man at the top to bring it down from the top. And so Mr. Flurry has produced several articles about this one man, two of them this year, Barack Obama and Bible Prophecy and the Barack Obama Mystery. And there are several other articles that he wrote just this year that talk about this attack, treason in America and Britain, the hidden message of the Horowitz Report. You know, these are all articles in the just this year. In that article, Barack Obama and Bible Prophecy, Mr. Flurry wrote, Barack Obama was at the epicenter of the election crisis and the radical left's effort to prevent Donald Trump from being reelected. So it all revolves around this one man still. And in that article, Mr. Flurry writes, look, why are we still talking about Mr. Obama? He was out of office 4 years ago. Why keep coming back to him? And he wrote, because this man continues to pursue his ambition to fundamentally transform America. America's entire electoral system is now in shambles, he writes. The nation will never again have a secure, uncontested election. And it's all because the radical left engaged in an unrestrained assault on America's democratic institutions and traditions, including the Constitution and the rule of law. Hundreds, even thousands of people and institutions were involved in this coup directly or indirectly. Virtually all of America's top media organizations and personalities were complicit, as well as the powerful tech companies and most of the nation's top politicians. But behind this vast network of lies, corruption, and lawlessness, there stood one man, Barack Obama. There is compelling evidence that Mr. Obama was not only aware of the plot to pervert this election, but was intimately connected with those pulling the strings. One thing is certain, this epic scandal was the result of Barack Obama's leadership of the Democratic Party and the radical left. And Mr. Flurry also traced a lot of the racial violence that we've seen throughout 2020 back to Mr. Obama. He drew attention to a particular segment by Rush Limbaugh. We've got a couple of clips from that segment we can play now. This is clip one.
One of the things that I don't think gets enough comment, and it didn't at the time, is the racial division created in this country by Obama and the Obama administration, and it was done purposefully. And it was a part of, it was a strategic part of implementing whatever aspect of the Obama agenda. Now, a lot of Americans, let me position it this way. There were a lot of white Americans. All they knew was they're sick and tired of being called racist just because they're white. They're sick and tired of the country being labeled as racist. So they couldn't wait to vote for Obama. They didn't have the slightest idea that such an assertion was never, ever going to be permitted. In fact, the election of Barack Obama was going to be used to divide the people of the country even more. Because dividing the people of the country was Obama's objective. How'd they do it? Very simple. Any Obama proposal that was not universally agreed to and accepted by everybody was said to be racist. The opposition to Obama's agenda was said to be racist. Racial division led us, he's right, to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Racial division is exactly what the left wanted.
So Mr. Flurry quoted quite heavily from that segment from Mr. Limbaugh in his article, and talking about how, well, even all of the, a lot of this racial division goes back to Mr. Obama. But again, this isn't really just about a man. Mr. Flurry wrote, the situation in America and Britain is worse than most think. The people fighting the Trump administration are not just leftists, not just radical leftists, not just Marxists. They're inspired by the spirit of Satan. That's what is the reality we need to see here. And Mr. Flurry also drew attention to another huge story we've seen this year that ties into that reality. He had an article called The Dangerous Left-Wing Media, and we saw a montage just on the show yesterday about how ridiculous and far off away from the truth so much of the media is. Mr. Flurry wrote in that article, "The media in America and Britain have become political tools. They no longer take a dispassionate, objective view of events. Far too many in the media have embraced a far left political view, to the point they cannot even recognize how grossly partisan they have become. Media empires are extremely powerful. The left-wing media are in a power struggle to get control, and they have been winning. Though unelected, they have grown too powerful for politicians to challenge. To challenge directly the mega media often leads to political death." And that's what we're seeing, this life and death fight between the media and President Trump. So that's my first point. You have to understand the spiritual dimension to U.S. politics. And as we go into 2021, you need to understand that to understand what is going on in 2021. And for each of these points, I want to leave you with one recommended article, just my recommendation. This is all just my points, points that stood out to me when reading through this. I think other people would probably have some different very good points too. But one recommended article to kind of get caught up with what Mr. Flurry has been saying on this subject and to really get the background you need to understand what the Bible says, what God says about this subject. And for this story, I'd recommend reading Barack Obama in Bible Prophecy. It's one of the most up-to-date ones, one of the most recent ones, and it will take you thoroughly explain the scriptures behind that. I think I've just given you a bit of a taste of those scriptures. It goes through in much more detail and shows you what the Bible says about what's going on in U.S. politics right now. So that was that first point. You must understand the spiritual dimension to American politics. The second lesson I think we can learn from all of these articles and the theme that comes across is hold on to your history. Hold on to your history. Here's a quote from Mr. Flurry this year. How much do Americans understand their own history? We are called to the world. We are called the world's greatest superpower ever. But how did we rise to such heights? Most Americans are ignorant of how it happened, and that ignorance places us in grave danger. And we've seen all kinds of riots and destruction this year. I mentioned that a little bit in the previous point. Buildings burned, cars, even people attacked. But increasingly, it's the history, the foundation of Britain, America, of the Western world. They're the factors under attack. British society, American society, whiteness, they're all intrinsically racist. Even Western civilization. And Mr. Flurry wrote about these riots. He had an article, "Race Riots Were Prophesied." He warned, "Neither side is going to win in the coming civil war. Both sides may think they will win, but none will." And while rioters have been pulling down statues this year, Mr. Flurry has really been holding them up, pointing to many of these same people that are being pulled down, because they show the solution to our problems, a solution to what is happening in Britain and America. For example, I didn't write down the title, but it's something along the lines of Abraham Lincoln shows us the solution to our race problems. Oh, Lincoln's view on tearing down sacred statues. I think that's the one. But Mr. Flurry wrote, "Abraham Lincoln led the nation during the bloody, bloody Civil War. He understood from painful experience the biblical principle that a nation divided against itself cannot stand. Lincoln told Americans very directly the reason for that tragedy. We have forgotten God. During that terrible time, Americans had a certain measure of repentance. As we've said, for many years, slavery was one of the greatest sins ever committed by a nation. Many knew that. Lincoln knew that. He freed the slaves. But the racial problem persists." President Lincoln pointed to the nation's real sin. The problem was spiritual. We have forgotten God. If he was right about Americans then, how much worse is it now? Bringing God in gives you clarity. Studying into his word gives you the solution. I've done that for many years, over and over, and I know that it's true. And this importance of valuing history and how history points us to God, this comes up again and again in Mr. Flurry's articles. You see a value for history there. No matter what the subject he's writing about, it's always grounded in history. In his article about the deadly, dangerous left-wing media, he's talking about the way the media nearly destroyed Britain in World War II in the 1930s, denigrating Winston Churchill and talking about how wonderful Adolf Hitler was. When he was talking about the irrationality on display in America, there was an article, neglected to mention the title, on will worship that he published last year. When he's talking about the comments Adolf Hitler made about ushering in a new era of worshipping the will, And this was but this history was just the main subject of several articles Mr. Flory wrote this year. And I've not done a comprehensive study, but I don't think we've had a year where we've written quite so much about history. You know, we've certainly written on it before, but again and again, we've got all these different articles. You know, I mentioned we had that article, Lincoln's View on Tearing Down Statues, one of the landmark articles by our editor-in-chief. And once again, you know, there's that crucial dimension that you can't get anywhere else. He begins that article talking about Lincoln's famous Lyceum Address in 1838, where Abraham Lincoln said, "During his long sleep, we permitted no hostile foot to pass over or desecrate where George Washington was buried." And Mr. Flory writes, "The word desecrate means to destroy the sacredness. Many of those statues and memorials really are sacred because they bring God into the picture. Is there a godlier example of a U.S. president than Abraham Lincoln? So could this desecration of statues be anti-God?" We need to think seriously about this. Physically, what could be more serious for our nation? You know, there's one theme to a lot of this coverage on history. I'd say it's our history points us to God. That comes across again and again. And, you know, again, you'll find good articles on America attacking its history. But outside of the trumpet, I don't think you'll find any articles that talk about that aspect of it. But that is really right at front and center of what we've written on about history this year, what Mr. Flory's written on. Our history points us to God. You had another great article, The Rise and Fall of Theodore Roosevelt, another article on a president that's under attack. He talks about how under President Roosevelt, well, America had the will to stand up, the will to fight, the will to stand up for itself. Now he said that there's a lot of weakness. He talks about how Theodore Roosevelt helped greatly in building a superpower. And he published he called his book, Fear God and Take Your Own Part. And he said, "Now we tear him down as we tear that superpower down. We have such problems," Mr. Flory writes, "because our leaders have less and less faith in the God who gave us our birthright." No, we don't trust in God anymore. Another article Mr. Flory wrote, "The Glory of Empire." You know, that the British Empire, well, that's come under attack a lot in 2020. Obviously not literally, but figuratively, massive attack on the empire. And it just this idea that the British Empire is slavery just 10 or 20 years or was shameful. Just 10 or 20 years ago, that was a bit of a fringe view. Now it's mainstream. That's just taken for granted. But in that article, The Glory of Empire, Mr. Flory talks about, well, what motivated Winston Churchill? This man who is voted again and again the greatest Briton or the greatest ever Briton. Well, what motivated him? Well, it was his love of the British Empire. Mr. Flory writes, "Churchill's ambitions were larger and nobler because he filled his mind with empire thinking. This expanded his ability to give selflessly and tirelessly, to sacrifice and do what was ever necessary to grow and preserve that empire." You know, he talked about the good the British Empire did for the world. As I said, something that's really controversial now. He talks about how God is motivated ultimately by a vision of empire. "The kingdom of God could very accurately be called the God family empire," he writes. "God has a plan to lift human life away from barbarism and savagery towards civilization and excellence. He has a strategy to spread just laws and right morals. He intends to fulfill the noble purpose of fostering the right kind of civilization for the benefit of the whole world." There's that article, The Glory of Empire. It was supplied another article on Winston Churchill, Churchill's final warning. I think that was right at the start of the year, warning about, well, this final warning from Winston Churchill was about how man was about to wipe himself out, that we needed some big changes to survive. Another article, "History is a Path to Understanding Bible Prophecy." Another article that just really hammers this point that history points us to God. You know, we can study the prophetic history of the Bible and that will point you to the future and ultimately to God. In a similar vein, another more recent article from Mr. Flory, "An astonishing archaeological discovery is imminent." You know, archaeology from Israel, it shows us, and from Israel in the Middle East, that it shows us how accurate the Bible is. It shows you that characters mentioned in the Bible lived when the Bible said they lived. That details mentioned of the Bible are accurate. You know, the Bible is not some elaborate forgery, and you can prove that. And the article points to some very dramatic archaeological evidence that will be discovered very soon. And why we can be sure it will be discovered very soon. But if I could point you to just one article catch you up on this subject, it is a hard choice. As I said, we've had lots of great material on this. It would probably be The Modern Interpretation of History. The Modern Interpretation of History, and Mr. Flurry there writes, "Our history shapes our present and our future. How have we come to such a miserable, hateful, grossly inaccurate perspective on even our own history? And what does it mean for our future? The answer is found in historians' fundamental method. Whatever else they may disagree on, they agree that human history has not been shaped by God." He writes, "This is the problem with so much modern history. Historians have appointed themselves as interpreters and judges, and they ignore or remove any facts they deem inconvenient. It's all this big effort to get God out of our history, when so much of the virtue of our history and the importance that we can learn from our history is that God is in it. And we need to see that. So we need to treasure our history, value our history." And that article that I'd point you to is A Modern Interpretation of History. And already that is half of what Mr. Flurry wrote this year. That's 111 out of 185 pages. So we will take a quick break and I'll be right back for the next 5 items on our list.
This is KPCG-FM and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to The Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flurry. And on today's show, we've been looking back at 2020, looking forwards a bit at 2021, but doing so through the lens of what Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flurry has written over the last 12 months or so. And we've been talking about 7 big takeaways, things we can learn from that, from some of those articles. We've talked about learning about the importance of seeing the spiritual dimension in America's history. The spiritual dimension in America's politics. We've talked about the importance of holding on to your history. And the third takeaway that I'd like to draw your attention to that I took from a lot of these articles is watch Jerusalem. Watch Jerusalem. Mr. Flurry was closely attuned to events in the Middle East and President Trump's various different peace plans, his peace plan going back quite a while towards the beginning of the year, where he had this peace plan to get Israel negotiating with Palestinians, and then this peace plan bringing in these Arab nations and helping them make peace with Israel. Well, they've been largely ignored by the media. They look a bit like good news and they don't want to cover anything that looks like good news for Mr. Trump. But they're really important events of 2020. And there's a critical angle in them that no one else is really talking about. And Mr. Flurry had an article, "The Deadly Flaw in Mideast Peace Deals." And in that, he wrote, "In the space of 4 months at the end of 2020, the Jewish state of Israel forged peace agreements with 3 Arab states, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Sudan." And I think we've just seen recently another one or two added on that. He writes, "The quick succession of deals has given the Jews a sense that after 70 years of being considered intruders, they are finally being accepted. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called these deals a pivot of history. Because this matchless achievement in diplomacy was mediated by US President Trump, it was largely ignored by the media in the US, but it isn't being ignored in the Mideast." But he writes, "We all want peace, but sadly, these recent peace pacts have a deadly flaw. Biblical prophecy gives us deep insight into these agreements. It actually foretells that moderate Arabs will unite, somewhat like we are now seeing. But they are prophesied not to cooperate with Israel or with the United States or Israel. And you look at this with Bible prophecy, the Bible tells us actually these nations, they're going to betray Israel. In fact, they're going to make crafty counsels, it talks about in Psalm 83 in one of the translations, that they're going to form a confederacy. They conspire against Israel in the Middle East, against Britain. And this alliance that the Bible talks about building, this was at the heart of another article, Why You Need to Watch Lebanon. And that article is based on some of these same prophecies that say these Arab nations are going to get together and betray Israel. And these prophecies tell us that Lebanon is not going to be aligned with Iran. And right now, or at least definitely at the start of the year, they were pretty close to Iran. And so Mr. Flory has been saying, watch for some changes in Lebanon. And sorry, the article this year was called Why We Told You to Watch Lebanon. He had an article 6 years ago, Why You Need to Watch Lebanon, forecasting that you would see these big changes. And this year, we saw those big changes. You know, especially this year, we saw this. And we saw this big explosion, quite literally, in Lebanon. And that has led to all of these changes, and it's led to France getting more involved in Lebanon, just as Mr. Flory was talking about in that article 6 years ago, watching for Europe to get more involved there. And so you see this alliance talked about in the Bible forming up this year. And, well, you've seen it building in other years too. Another article, Will the Trump Peace Plan Bring Peace to Israel? And this goes back to that earlier effort to have negotiations between Palestinians and Israelis. But that article Mr. Flory wrote, did you know that Jerusalem means city of peace? You would almost think it is a sick joke. There's been no lasting peace in that city. In fact, Jerusalem has flowed with rivers of blood. Why do men's peace plans always fail? There is a reason, a cause we need to understand. Jerusalem provides a stunning example of this reason. So we need to understand why peace doesn't work. Why we, you know, all around the world, man has tried to make peace and it's failed. And you look at what's going on in Jerusalem and you can learn why it has failed. So that's the third point that really stood out to me. Watch Jerusalem. And we'll come back to that a bit in our last point. But if you want to come up to speed with events in Middle East, probably the best place to start is that article, The Deadly Flaw in Mideast Peace Deals. And that will catch you up with the latest news. And that brings me to my fourth point. Watch China. Watch China. You know, we've not just been focused here at the Trumpet on American news, and Mr. Flory certainly hasn't. There's a big wide world out there, and it's going to have a big cruel impact on the United States and Britain and other countries very soon. Mr. Flory wrote, this is in one of his articles and that I quoted under the first point, America doesn't just have divisions within it. It has powerful enemies without. Vicious nations have been waiting for decades and decades for something like this to happen to America. Something like this election crisis, like all this division. They want to destroy not just windows and monuments, but this entire nation. There are hostile powers out there. So Mr. Flory's warning, one of the biggest ones is China. You know, there's a big threat coming from China. One of those articles we had this year, where is the China-America clash leading? And in that article, Mr. Flory looks back to, well, where your coronavirus has been huge this year, obviously. You don't need me to tell you that. Where's it come from? Well, that's something too few are willing to talk about. He writes, it's now well established that in the early days of the coronavirus outbreak, the Chinese Communist Party deliberately suppressed reports about it and even destroyed evidence of the outbreak. He said that the timeline shows that after the outbreak, the Communist Party forbade people from Wuhan from traveling to other parts of China, while they encouraged other countries to let people from Wuhan travel all over the world. He talks about how the nation willingly spread the plague. This is cruelty beyond imagination, writes Mr. Flory. You know, they were quite happy. They wouldn't let people from Wuhan travel around their own nation, but they were quite happy to let them go to other countries. Far too many people have died, Mr. Flory writes. The coronavirus outbreak could have been prevented. 8 Wuhan doctors tried to warn the world and were arrested and rebuked. 1 citizen journalist and local businessman disappeared. Foreign journalists were expelled. China's government didn't want the truth to leak out. This is communism in action. China has lied, buried the truth, and refused to let experts in to examine evidence, all the while hoarding medical supplies. Everyone knows China is covering something up. China caused the plague. This is brazen aggression. This is on the level of an act of war. You know, this isn't the actions of a nation that wants peaceful cooperation with the United States. You know, they're happy to let people go spread this around the world. We've also seen this year China aggressively taking over sea gates, especially in the South China Sea, and Mr. Flurry drew attention to that in this article as well. And in another article, in a latest trumpet print, China's most dangerous maneuver ever against America. And the whole February trumpet print is really a great issue focusing on China. This article focuses on one particular sea gate, the Panama Canal, and Mr. Flurry shows how America's control of that canal was prophesied and how America's given that up to China. So I'll probably point to that article as the best place to go to get caught up on this. China's most dangerous maneuver ever against America. It ties together a lot of what we've talked about already on this show. You know, God's role in America's history, the decline of the United States, the political problems in America, and then this rise of China. So watch China. And then that brings me to my fifth point. Watch Europe. Now, this is probably one of the more unique points on this list. Now, you can find people that are concerned about U.S. politics. Some of those same people are also concerned about China. But to be concerned about Europe as well? You know, who's really worried about that? Well, I think for Mr. Flurry, he's probably hitting this more than he was talking about China this year. You know, the Bible tells us what is going on in American politics is actually intimately connected with Europe. In that article, Barack Obama in Bible prophecy, Mr. Flurry writes, "The whole story in biblical prophecy shows that Satan has a three-pronged attack after he is cast down. First, he attacks God's church, spiritual Israel. Second, he attacks the nations of Israel, especially the United States, the lead nation, and we're seeing that right now. Third, he works through the Holy Roman Empire and destroys these nations in the Great Tribulation." So this rise of the Holy Roman Empire in Europe, that is critical to watch. And that's something a lot of commentators, even those that see what's going on in America, you know, they don't see that. And that's something Mr. Flurry's really been focused on. You know, right at the start of the year, one of his first articles, "Gutenberg prods Europe to unite." And he writes at the start of that, "We live in urgent times. I think the European leaders see that more than American leaders do." And this article was based on comments from Karl Theodor zu Gutenberg, as former defense minister in Germany, who we believe could play a big role in German politics, talking about the need that Europe has to unite. And the cover story of the January 2020 article, I think that was also on the need for a strong leader in Germany. Now, that was, I didn't put that on my list of 185 pages of articles because it would have been written a month or two in before 2020 started. But still, right on the cover of that, the start of the year, Europe and the Holy Roman Empire. Then the February issue, France is resurrecting the Holy Roman Empire. A landmark article on France's role in Bible prophecy. And then as COVID became the story of 2020, Mr. Flurry had again a take you're not going to get from anywhere else. Coronavirus and the Holy Roman Empire. And in that article, he writes, "One of the most important effects of the global panic over COVID-19 has been almost overlooked. Europe's response to the pandemic is accelerating the fulfillment of one of the most crucial end-time prophecies of your Bible. The coronavirus is hastening the arrival of the prophesied Holy Roman Empire." And this is something really important to keep in mind as we head into 2021. You know, this is one of the next big events to be coming on the world scene. Mr. Flurry writes in that article, "The Bible says 10 kings will rise in Europe in this end time, led by one overarching strongman. These kings will form the Holy Roman Empire. The coronavirus pandemic is helping usher in these 10 kings. And he talks about how the crisis is helping this in several different ways. It's pushing Europe exactly in the direction that it was prophesied. He talked about how it's building to a financial crisis. And you know, just like in America, the European Central Bank, they're staving off that crisis by printing money. But it's just putting off the problem. They're facing a massive financial crisis at some point, and that's going to bring about huge changes. He talks about how Europe has generally moved forwards in times of crisis, and coronavirus is leading to that crisis. It's leading to people talking about a strongman. He quotes an article from Zeit Online saying that talking about the longing for the proverbial strongman who finally takes action will go stronger. You know, there's this desire for a strongman in Europe. lots of specific prophecies that COVID is helping to accelerate. So watch Europe is one of the lessons, one of the takeaways from those articles. And I'd point you to that article, Coronavirus and the Holy Roman Empire, as a great place to go to get caught up on that. Which brings me to my sixth point. Keep hope alive. This point really shines through all of Mr. Flurry's articles. You know, going right back to the very first article that we talked about, why Donald Trump will remain America's president. Well, the last sub had there, a light always. You know, talking about this, there's light here. There's a purpose here. God wants to shine a light. And all of these articles point to what God is doing. And they don't just talk about problems, but solutions. Solutions that would fix the nation, but solutions that you can apply in your life individually as well. You know, that nations can do to keep going, to stave off destruction. But then also, well, if nations keep on following in sin, here's what you can do in your life to turn things around for you, for your family. And so many articles could fit into this category. One of Mr. Flurry's articles was Coronavirus and Other Modern Plagues and Prophecy, just showing how God is really in control behind all of these events. He had the mystery of the church. You know, most people don't understand what the church is, why the church exists. But when you understand that the purpose of the church, well, that includes a massive hope for all of mankind. We had an article, a new government is coming. And that article begins, are you tired of bad news? Many terrible curses are hitting our nations all at once. We are feeling the sickness of COVID-19, the isolation of social distancing and lockdowns, the financial crunch of lost jobs and reduced economic activity, the shock over abolished freedoms, the pain of cities burning, the bitterness of racial and political divisions. And as a result, we are also suffering from depression, anxiety, fear, despair, and hopelessness. Yet, as terrible and shattering as these problems are, they contain the seed of extraordinary hope. And the article goes on to explain how Jesus Christ came with a message, a gospel, a good news that is very practical. There is a new government coming, as the title talks about, that will solve these problems. The government of God. You know, the kingdom of God isn't just some kind of nebulous thing that's set up in people's hearts. It's a very real, concrete kingdom that is soon going to rule over the earth. And he had an article, The Climax of Man's Rule Over Man, published earlier in the year, that concludes with a similar point, but that really focuses on just how much man's governments have failed, how much we need a new government. I think it was in the February issue, and the same issue had an article, 30 Years of the Trumpet, where Mr. Flurry writes there, Bible prophecy shows that we're on the verge of a world full of hope, peace, an abundant life of endless joy. You have the unparalleled honor of helping to usher it in. To help you better understand that, I want to tell you about the larger work we have been doing these past 30 years. And so he explained the work we've been doing and why, and the hope that motivates that work. So, well, of all of these different products that articles that Mr. Flurry has produced, what would I recommend then for building hope, for keeping hope alive? Well, that brings me to my seventh point. My seventh point, I guess, is a bit of a departure from the rest, but my seventh point is read Mr. Flurry's new book. You know, it's not just 185 pages worth of articles that he's produced this year. There's a new book. You know, there's a lot of people very excited about 2021 now. You know, it's the last day of 2020, and they look back at it and they say, well, 2020 was a horrible year. But now we can draw a line under it. It will be done. Tomorrow it will be 2021, and you know, everything will be better. We can go back to normal. Fine, it might take us a few months to go back to normal, but we can and we will. And they're pinning their hopes on that. But you need to realize that might not happen. You know, maybe there'll be a resurgence in America, a temporary resurgence in America and other countries, maybe. But the general trend is that world events are going to become more intense, more dramatic. So what happens if 2021 is a horrible year, or 2022? You know, where do you put your hope then? Well, that's where Mr. Flurry's new book comes in. You know, I think 2020 has probably been one of the worst years in living memory for people, especially if you're young people. I think if you're a bit older, I certainly think you've probably had worse years. But for younger generations. But this year, Mr. Flurry produced a book that probably has the most specific and powerful vision of hope. Or at least certainly one of the most specific and powerful visions of hope of anything he's written. The Eternal has chosen Jerusalem. That book will really help give you a living hope, a real hope, a hope that is, like I said, powerful, specific, clear, a hope that can't be diminished by a bad year from 2021 being worse and 2022 being worse than that. A book that will give you a hope that can survive any amount of bad news. So that's what I'll leave you with. You could go and read that book, The Eternal Has Chosen Jerusalem, if you want a hope that's immune to a bad year, that's immune to negative stories, that will give you the positive behind all of these negative stories. You can get that book on our website, thetrumpet.com. You just go to the literature tab at the top right-hand corner there, and you can find all of our books and booklets. We'd be very happy to send you a free copy of that. That is about all I have time for. Please do tune in tomorrow when Mr. Flurry plans to be back here at kpcg.fm or 101.3 on the FM dial. And please do send us feedback at td@kpcg.fm.